Thank you. you.
Okay, very good afternoon to you. For those of you who are only now joining us in our 4 o'clock hour, this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. And I'm Hugh Hamilton. Our engineer this afternoon is Maria Englund. How do you solve a problem like Maria?
And how do you hold the cloud and pin it down?
And pin it down.
How do you solve a problem like a Mia? A sippity jibbity with a whisper clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her.
Oh, very good.
Many a thing she ought to understand.
Can I reclaim my program? Can I reclaim my program?
You started it.
Okay, good. All right. somewhere in here it says something about Ritmo de la Vida.
Yes.
I can't find it.
Number 12.
But then it's number 12. That's number 12.
The salsa in Sweden.
The salsa in Sweden.
Yes.
Wonderful. And it's now 7 minutes after 4 o'clock. And my guest in studio this afternoon for a first in a series of discussions that we'll be having is our general manager, Utrice C. Lead, who has taken time off from her busy schedule. Here at the radio station to be to rejoin the Talkback family, where our telephone number is 212-209-2900. We're exploring various and sundry ideas all over the globe, practically. And as this series of discussions continues or progresses, what we're going to do is deal with other segments of some of the issues that we have been dealing with here on Talkback over the past 6 months or so that I have been here. But most recently, you and I were talking about your tenure here, mm-hmm. your stewardship at the helm of this great institutional ship that is WBAI. Do you have a mission for this radio station that is different from that which you understand to be commonly held among those who have been loyal listeners over the past four decades or so?
Well, two things. Number one, WBAI is part of the Pacifica family of stations.
Which means what?
Which means that while we have our singular identity, because we have been here for 41, going on 42 years, and much work has been done in this market, we are still part of an even larger family of stations. There are five. One in Washington, D.C., WPFW. One in Texas, that's KPFT. We have one in Los Angeles, that's KPFK. And one in Berkeley, KPFA. So it's a system of five stations. And there's a new executive director, Bessie Wash. And I think that from this new executive director, we have been getting perhaps the most promising and most encouraging signals that we've gotten for a long, long time. The Pacifica system, because of the nature of what the system was and its own unique evolution, has gone through rifts and peaks and valleys of turmoil and dissent and so forth, and this is one of them, I suppose. Except that there's a difference in the nature and in the genesis of this current turmoil, in that I believe it to be manufactured, totally manufactured, and I believe it to be in service of very narrow personal agendas that, in fact, are antithetical to collective interests. These are highly individualistic agendas that are being advanced at the expense of the collective and at the expense of collective progress. So there is that definitive difference. I want to come to the executive director again. In my time here at WBAI, we've gone through two executive directors, Pat Scott and I'm blocking on the name.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay. It means that I'm getting old. Lynn Chadwick. I'm trying to remember her name. Lynn Chadwick.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to say that they were not capable people. I know they came into the system with their own particular challenges before them. And whether it is as a result of dealing with those challenges or that those challenges consumed them more than their ability to enact and to get things done, I don't know. But in any event, both are no longer here. This current executive director, Bessie Wash, from Brooklyn, she calls herself a colored girl from Brooklyn. I hadn't met her until she called me on the telephone one day after a program, and we talked very briefly. But she was concerned enough about what we exchanged with each other on the phone to say, I will come up and I will sit with you and talk with you tomorrow morning. And she was here that very morning. We've gotten very good signals from her. She wants exactly the same thing that I had put forward as being, in effect, demands for taking this position.
Which is what? Or what?
To move this entire system into the real world. For example, she insists that workers have to be paid a living wage. That is absolutely confluent with what it is I want to do. She insists that workers have health coverage, perfectly confluent with what I want to do. She insists that these separate organisms, which have been operating so independently to the point where they no longer identify as a family of stations, that we begin to identify ourselves as a family of stations, because in unity, there is strength. If we reform and regroup as a family of stations operating in key areas, key broadcasting areas, what we have is serious and in some cases unmatchable influence, public influence. That's a great vision. That we should be more interdependent, which is something I want to do. More interdependent, meaning we should be able to call on any of our sister stations to assist us as they should be able to call on us to assist them. Because when we help each other, we collectively realize an extraordinary strength. In the world of broadcasting, we are a unique entity, and we should maintain that uniqueness. She believes very strongly in reinvesting in the physical plant. I don't need to tell you how many things are not working here and have not been working for a long time. She's been very adamant about that. So these are very encouraging signs, but above all is the fact that she has been available. Every time that she has been called, and this is prior to my coming on, every time a call was issued to her to come here, she has come. And every time a demand has been made that is reasonable, she has executed on that. So she has delivered, and she will continue to deliver. But again, the conditioning is, and we're dealing with this, this is a very serious issue. The conditioning is in all of us that the packaging is wrong. The packaging doesn't look good. Bessie Wash is in wrong packaging. She's a short black woman.
She's a colored girl in the ring.
She is a colored girl.
In the ring.
With her natural, wonderful, nappy hair.
But she's in the ring.
And the question is, some people think that people who look like that cannot be visionary. They can't think. They can't govern. They don't have the apparatus. They don't have the intellect to exert any form of leadership at all. Wrong packaging. Now, she could be the most incompetent person, but if she was in the right packaging, everything would be nice. Everything would be wonderful. And by the way, she's on this job all of a year and a couple of months. And dealing with the leftovers of neglect and mismanagement and all kinds of things that she has had to deal with in the short space of time, just like me. I'm coming in to a situation that is not pleasant to deal with. It is not pleasant because I'm coming in under, let me be very kind, less than ideal circumstances in terms of administrative style, but in terms of administrative reality. You know, I have the unenviable position, you know, of the guy sitting, you know, those horse-drawn carriages you see around the mm-hmm. city, and there's this huge bag that is situated mm-hmm. strategically behind the horse's patoot,
uh-huh.
so that the driver is constantly downwind. I am the driver, constantly downwind, and I get a full blast. So that's the unenviable position, but it's been wonderful, too. And I think it is more wonderful than difficult. Why? Because we have really gifted people here who have been psychologically pummeled because they have not been recognized for the great work that they do. It's not just one person. We have close to 200 people involved in programming every day. We have people who excel. They're not only very good, they excel at what they do, but they haven't had their rightful place in the sun. They need to be exposed. They're vitamin D deficient. We have a physical plant. Much is wrong with it, but a lot of it is going well enough that we can continue doing our work, and we will reinvest in the physical plant and keep going. We have people who recognize psychologically that there's an opportunity, a very large opportunity right now, to redefine ourselves. Because the truth is, we always have had that authority to be self-regulating, self-governing, and self-defining within the context of a mission. And by the way, I go back to Bessie Wash, who, upon taking this job in March of last year, put out a vision statement for 5 years. Our vision fits within that vision, but we also have the added ability and opportunity to define within that context our own vision. We've always had that power. We never exercised it, but we've always had that power. So that's a great place to be, and especially because, depending on how smart we are at this, we could do something that no other radio station in this city can do, which is to quickly change ourselves to match the unique informational needs of our listeners.
You know, I want to pause there for a moment because it's 20 minutes after 4 o'clock. I want to get into the issue of what are the unique informational needs of our listeners. I'm just going to throw out some of the ideas that have come to mind while you were talking. What are those unique informational needs? The issue of corporatization of the management or administrative style of the radio station. I personally believe, for example, that to be listener-sponsored does not mean that you do not have to be competitive. I think you do. And the fact that WBAI, as a radio station that is very strategically located in terms of our position in the electromagnetic spectrum, is very ideally located, and it's over 50,000 watts of power on the FM dial. And that means that WBAI, I think, is in a position to compete very successfully against a great deal of the programming that is available elsewhere. and how well we're doing that, and what mechanisms do we have, if any, for measuring our effectiveness in achieving such a goal, assuming that such a goal is desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And what an, I have always, everywhere I go, and people say to me, so I understand you're on BAI, and I say yes, and that's the voice of the left, is it not? Mm-hmm. And I have some questions about that.
Well,
whether that
was,
is... But that last one I'm going to ask you before we go to calls, which is, do you want BAI to be known, to be identified with, to be understood to be the voice of the left, or do you just want it to be a competitive radio station that delivers quality programming? I mean, what is your vision on this?
Well, I was saying, in fact, I said it at a staff meeting, and apparently some people just didn't feel the need to hold our staff meetings in confidence, and so they put out on the internet that I said that WBAI is not to be the voice of the left. And I stand by that, by the way. What do I mean? I mean that people's philosophical and ideological leanings are their own business. We're not in the business of forming political ideas to say this is the way you will think. And if you think this way, if you think the way I tell you to think, you are now a bona fide leftist. And if you think the way I tell you to think over here on this issue, you are now a bona fide progressive. Neither the leftists nor the progressives, as they say, have a right to eminent domain over your brain. We are broadcasters. Our job, clearly everybody brings a perspective. But in the same way as when we worked together 15 years ago, I never told you what to write. I never asked you what you were thinking. In fact, I asked you, what do you think you would like to pursue this week? What do you plan? What does your department plan to do this week? That's the way I operate.
That is indeed correct.
But I'm interested just the same. I will hold you to one standard and one standard only. Whatever it is you write about, whatever it is you discuss, I want to know that you've made a concerted effort to present a full body of information. That's all. Then the reader, or then the listener, as is our case, can take the next step. But only the listener is entitled to take that step. We keep jumping in and out of people's heads as if we have that right. And I'm saying that that is an assault on people's brains. We do a good job when we present information and when we do our jobs properly and thoroughly as broadcasters. I've been listening to some stuff here, especially in the last several months. I mean, I cannot believe that people do this stuff and still call themselves journalists. In this whole fracas, nobody was brave enough, forget brave, but nobody was thorough enough or professional enough to call me and ask me, well, what do you say about so and so and so and so? Oh, come on in and let's discuss this on the air. Then how dare you assume the right to formulate people's opinions and then tell them this, you must believe this because I say it's true. And if you've been conditioned the way I have, I am superior to you. I know more than you do. Therefore, as I think, so should you. That is terrorism. Intellectual terrorism. We need to test the strength of our ideas, if in fact we are leftists. And I don't have any respect for these labels, because some of the people who lift themselves up and laud themselves to be leftists, I just have absolutely no respect for. I don't even think they are thinking people. I don't think they are people. So whether they are leftists or whatever it is immaterial to me. They are horrible human beings. And as such, I couldn't care less what ideological label they choose to affix to themselves. You don't pass muster with me. As a human being, you fail the test spectacularly. But I'm saying, we have become accustomed, and many people have become accustomed to redefining the so-called mission of Pacifica. They tell him, well, it was founded by leftists, therefore it's a leftist organization. No. No, it's not. No. We do not have an ideological burden here. We have an informational burden. And our informational burden is to be thorough and authoritative and comprehensive. And if we really believe in the authenticity of the information, put it up to the test. Put it to the test. And let's see if it passes the test. A lot of the stuff that has been said, I mean, is just so blatantly false. It's pathetic in terms of journalistic practice. I wouldn't even subject it to a test. It just would be embarrassing. It's a waste of time that seasoned journalists would do this kind of thing and think that it is a professional thing that they're doing. But I'm saying that if people have anything to prove, it is not their vocal commitment to some ideology. It is their literal commitment to standards and practice. That's what impresses me. And that is why I can have extraordinary respect for a conservative like William Buckley, or I can have extraordinary respect for a radical like Kwame Ture, because they make a very heavy investment in the currency of their ideas. And put to the test, you will be hard-pressed to out-argue or to oppose them on the ground on which they stand, because I'm not reacting from emotion, which is what people want to condition. You must be emotional about it. Go ahead, be emotional all you want. I'm interested in logic. I'm interested in your reasoning. I'm interested in what you pretend to be ideas. If you fail, you just fail. And so far, a whole bunch of folks have been failing in all three departments.
We're talking with Utrecht Lee, General Manager here at WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Utrecht Lee is, of course, our General Manager and is in studio here this afternoon as my guest in what I hope is going to be the first of several consecutive discussions. I'm hoping, Utrecht, that you might be able to spare some time to be back with us tomorrow.
Only because you forced me.
Yeah, really. Because I've got so many questions I need to ask you.
Oh, no. We'll be back.
Two quick things before I go to the telephones at 212-209-2900. One, you have made a number of internal policy and personal changes and adjustments, modifications, if you will, since you became general manager. Any regrets, yes or no?
No.
Secondly, do you take any of this personally? Any of the tumult, any of the turmoil that has surrounded the events here at WBAI?
No,
do you take them personally? Do you think it's about Utrecht Lee?
No, no.
Or do you think it's about something else?
I view it as a barometer by which I measure the degree to which people have actually attained humanity, and they haven't.
It is now 30 minutes after 4 o'clock, and we go now to your telephone calls. Please make your questions and your comments as concise as possible so that we can maximize our use of our guest's time. Our guest is Utrecht Lee, General Manager here at WBAI. Good afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton, and you are on the air. Hello.
I just turned off my radio, and thanks for taking the call very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I think anybody who's listened to Utrecht for about three-quarters of the show, and probably now as she's answering the questions, could decide for themselves about whether she's right or wrong about BAI. But there was one comment that I really was surprised on. There was a comment there about terror. And the only show of force or threat of force I've seen in my experience at BAI...
Do you work here?
Yeah, this is Dave Burstein.
Dave Burstein. Okay, so what's your question, Dave?
My question is, what kind of terror is being experienced by a general manager that's greater than the terror felt by nine producers who said general manager threatened to have arrested, or I should say promised to have arrested, that was her second quote, for showing up at a meeting one Friday.
Okay,
that
Dave.
That sure sounds like police use of police sure sounds more like terror to me than anything else I know that's been happening to Utrice.
Okay, David, thanks a lot for the call. Let me put that to Utrice, and then we move on. Utrice, do you recognize the... I think he said his name was Dave.
Oh, Dave Burstein.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, had physically accosted me a couple of times right here at WBAI and had to be dissuaded by his fellow producers to behave himself. In fact, I believe...
As a matter of fact, I was at one of those meetings.
That's correct. And your fellow producers had to prevail on him to behave himself, because he was clearly out of control.
I distinctly remember that, yes.
All right, well, that pretty much addresses his question, and I really don't want to spend more time with somebody who physically accosted me and then had to incur the wrath of his fellow producers. You were there in that meeting.
Yes, indeed. It was a Friday afternoon.
I
remember. Okay, good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air with Utrice Lee.
Good afternoon. My name is Salahuddin. I want to offer a parallel to perhaps your experience, Utrice, and I thank you for this topic about individuals who somehow are marginal to the status quo, but in fact really aren't marginal intrinsically, but have something to offer. I'm a grad student in a psych program, and I am African-American male, and at times when we have group conversations or discussions, the assessment of, it appears to me that the assessment of, or the value of my contribution is not based on the substance of it, but on who it's coming from, or...
The packaging.
Yeah, exactly. Not even the people say that somebody hates me because I'm black. No, they hate me because their interpretation of my blackness. And I found that in circumstances such as that, in a forum such as that, where individuals are making very superficial assessments based on fallacious belief systems, and in fact on ignorance and obtuseness, that how much can one contribute to an organization where such ignorance prevails? I mean,
okay, Salahuddin.
Yes.
Okay, good. You're overpowering me here with abstractions.
Yes.
Do you have a question, sir?
Well, actually, it was more of a comment.
Okay, and your comment too.
If you like to comment on what I said, I very much appreciate it.
I understand exactly what you're saying, Salahuddin, but I want to make this point as well. This movement, this anti-Pacifica movement, such as it is, it has been personalized because that is, again, part of the battle for the mind. So it is presented as a battle with Utrice Lead, a battle with Bessie Wash, a battle with persons, specific persons, most of them people of color, on the board, so that individuals can focus on, you know, the personal battle and see themselves in relationship to it that way. But make no mistake, there's a large issue here. And the large issue is that somebody or some groups of individuals are working very hard to try to steal the licenses of Pacifica. They can't do it in the democratic way. That is, there's no way for them to prevail within the structure and the rules of the structure. So they first set out to say that there are no rules. There, in fact, are rules. They may not be perfect, but we've got them. So they disobey or disavow the rules. Secondly, they can't win it in the courts. So far, they haven't been able to prevail in the courts. So what they will do is try to steal them. They will steal these licenses by creating a situation in which the very people for whom these stations are existing to serve their informational needs will turn against the system. But that is the larger issue. It's not about Utrice Lead. I mean, it's not about any individual, but that is the way the whole thing is being positioned, so that you come away thinking, oh my God, it's a fight between this one and that one. No, it's not. It's a group of individuals, and we know who they are. And we know what they're after. They're operating under some delusion that if they force the forfeiture of these licenses, that they'll get them. No way is that going to happen. It's not going to happen.
36 minutes after the hour, good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you are on the air with Utrice Lead. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Shabazz in the Bronx.
Yes, Shabazz.
I'd like to say a shout-out to everybody there, Utrice.
Thank you, Shabazz.
Maria, and yourself. I want to say that, you know, from what I can gather, it just boils down to those very simple facts, again, that were taught a long time ago. Some of them went like, you shall know the truth shall set you free. Another one went something like, his mercy is bestowed on all, you know, regardless of black, white, whatever. And the one I think I like best is the one that says that the enemy of truth are not made of truth. The enemies of truth are made of falsehood. And with that, thank you very much.
Shabazz, hello.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
You were, in fact, one of our intrepid volunteers during this drive.
And, all time.
And you were there every day. You were here of the drive. And in fact, on the very last day of the drive, you had to assist in evacuating the premises of undesirable elements. I wondered whether you can talk a bit about the nature of the comments that came through during the drive.
You mean from the end of the phone that I was on?
Yes.
I would say quickly that it was 70%, I would say, 7, if you take a round figure like the 10, I would say 7 out of 10 people were authentic, you know, prescribers and subscribers and to the drive and were authentically behind you and WBAI, where and their particular what do you call them, programmers, you know, that the different shows that they listen to. And on the other hand, there was always that 3%, you know, that they had nothing to do but play games. You know, some of them would go as far as have you fill out names and everything, and then at the end of it they'd say, well, you know, ha ha, the laugh is on you, you know, things like that. To a degree, it was I would say about 3%, you know, 3 out of 10 calls roughly in my ears were harassing calls.
Okay, Shabazz, I think the thrust of this is that what was the nature of the harassment as you recall it?
The nature of the harassment, from what I could gather, was it was more so directed from some group. Like I had calls from, so they say, California and here and there and all over, talking about Pacifica. You know, that Pacifica was going down the wrong way, and you know, I didn't get any calls from about Ms. Wash or any calls. I got about maybe 2 or 3 calls personally concerning Utrecht's lead, but other than that, it was mainly the discontent with the Pacifica and something I still don't understand, you know.
Right, thank
okay,
you.
Shabazz. Right. Look, hey, thanks a lot, my friend. Okay, take care. Good afternoon. This is Talk Back, and you're on the air with Utrecht's lead. Hi.
Yes.
Okay, good. Now your radio is on. Your radio.
It's off.
Okay, good. Talk to me.
Okay. You know, I'm your old-fashioned WBAI listener for many, many years, my husband and I. And basically, my question is, actually, I actually have 2 questions for you, Therese. I listened to you for many years. Therese, I admire you and, frankly, was very disappointed with what has happened over the last 6 months, extremely disappointed. And my question is, you keep referring to this group of people, they know who they are. You've been promising you'd be telling us who they are. If you have proof, please tell us.
Great.
What's your second question?
No, well, those are the 2 questions.
Oh, those are the 2, okay.
Well, you know, this is an interesting thing, and I wish to tackle it because it's puzzling to me. People would say, you know, I've known you for so long, and, you know, I loved you, and well, but now I'm so disappointed. Explain to me what that means.
Hello, you there?
Yes, I am here.
Yes,
I'm listening.
Waiting for, what is the what do you mean by you're disappointed?
I think that I think you perhaps may have or at one point had honorable intentions, but I think that
first of all, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Marianne.
Marianne, do we know each other?
No. We've never met.
But you are comfortable that you know me.
Oh no, I don't know you at all.
You're comfortable,
I just know you,
but you're
as
comfortable.
A personality.
But you're comfortable also that you know what I do every day here.
No, I don't know what you do every day.
But you're comfortable.
I know what.
But
your
comfortable being disappointed just the same.
Yes, and I think that's my right as a listener. And
it's not
the
about
only
a
thing.
You don't have a right as a listener to think one way or the other. I mean, people talk about rights.
I don't have a right. I think I do have a right.
Is it your right to? Yes, you have a right. Even if you are ignorant of the facts, you have a right to be ignorant.
Well, I may be ignorant of the facts, but I'm waiting for you to enlighten me, Utrece, and I'm
waiting. This is the problem. First of all, now I want you to understand what I have to say, and I'm saying this in great respect for you. It is not my job to educate you. It is not my job to submit to the veracity test. You have the right, since it is in your brain now, since it is a thought that you own and claim, it is your job, it is your duty to subject the sources that you have depended upon to arrive at your state of disappointment. Subject those sources to the veracity test. I am not responsible for your disappointment. The sources of information that have influenced your thinking are responsible for your disappointment. But you hesitate to do the work of saying, let me examine the information that I have very clinically and objectively. Instead, you tell me it is my job. And I understand it. I'm not putting you down. I understand your feeling. Trust me, you will know what you need to know. It will all be made plain. I do not react on other people's timetables simply because they say to jump. I've never been conditioned to say how high. It will never happen. I do my work thoroughly first. I believe that you are entitled to sound information. And in any event, as I said earlier, it is not my job to tell you what to think. I will not presume to be so arrogant as to tell you what to think. I presume you're a thinking person. And if you are a long-time listener to WBAI and to TalkBack, you are an analytical listener. You're not suggesting that to me in our conversation right now. You're suggesting to me that you would like somebody to open up your head and pour some information in there that would change your mind. No. The battle, Marianne, is for your mind. Your job is to subject the sources of information that have influenced your thinking to the veracity test. That is not my job, and I'm not going to take it on just to please you.
It's 45 minutes now after the hour. We've got approximately 9 minutes left in this segment of our broadcast today before we make way for the 5 o'clock programming that's coming up. We're talking with Utrece Lead, our general manager, and I'm Hugh Hamilton, and this is WBAI. Good afternoon. You are on the air.
Yeah, this is Astro calling Chelsea. How you doing, Utrece?
Fine, thank you, Astro. How are you?
You know, you said that the board of directors and you want to pay a living wage and health benefits to the workers.
Yep.
And does that why is it seem to be, from what we're hearing on the radio programs over these last 6 months, it seems to be some conflict with the unions. Why is that?
There's no conflict with the unions at all.
That's all been settled?
This is the funny thing. Now, you know, again, we'll talk later on in this conversation about fact and fiction, and that's one of the pieces of fiction that there is. There is no conflict with the union. In this entire system of five stations with the hundreds and hundreds of people working, we had exactly one charge or one issue before the National Labor Relations Board, brought by one employee. And that one employee's union made a huge investment of time and effort to investigate the validity of the charges. And that union, after conducting a thorough investigation, petitioned the National Labor Relations Board to withdraw the charges for lack of merit. And the National Labor Relations Board granted permission to withdraw the charges. Now that says something. Just one. Currently, at least we're trying to get back to labor negotiations, and the first I already put in the hands of the union representing the workers here a template of what it is we want to do. Increase wages and so forth. You know, the first thing I had to do after coming on board here, the very first official thing was to find money to bury a colleague who had been working here for more than 20 years with no benefits. None. And Bessie Wash, I might add, matched the contribution from Pacifica in order to bury this colleague. It is shameful. The first person, I did not go to the funeral to avoid any undue difficulties, but the first person up to speak glowingly for political reasons was the very person who denied him medical benefits for all 20 years that he was here. And this is the person that the people are fighting to bring back. Bring back the fired and the banned. The people who denied people. I was denied medical benefits for, I was denied pay for 2 years and denied medical benefits for at least 15 to 16 months after that. So we have a history of doing great violence to each other. But as long as the people suffering this way were particular kinds of people, it was okay. It was all right. It was considered fair. The very first thing was to find a way to bury a colleague. I don't ever want that to happen ever again. Not on my watch. Now that is political correctness. That is real revolutionary, isn't it?
You know, Yatrice, here's a question I've been meaning to ask you for a while, and that is... Now, I know that WBAI is listener-sponsored radio.
Yes.
I know that we go directly to listeners and we ask them to put their hands into their wallets, their pockets, their, you know, purses, whatever, and to contribute to the station as a means of keeping us viable. What do you understand to be the relationship, though, between the listener and the people who run and work at this radio station? And here's why I ask that. In my personal experience, running a radio station is a technocratic enterprise. It requires a certain set of skills, people with a certain set of skills, making decisions that are based on a certain degree of professionalism and so forth. What we provide for the public, for the people who listen, is information. Mm-hmm. We provide them with education, with entertainment and all that, and we try to package it in the best possible way that we can. But what I've never had reason to deal with is the degree to which the people who listen to the station are involved in the making of internal policy, in hiring and firing practices, in matters of internal discipline, management and administration and so forth. And I'd like you, in our remaining minutes this afternoon, to address this question. Where do you see, where does the line of demarcation lie? And what do you think is the appropriate relationship between the people who listen to us and fund us and the people who make decisions to optimize the content and quality and presentation of what we do?
Well, I don't believe that simply because we are listener-sponsored, and it's very important that we are listener-sponsored, 85% of our revenues come from listeners. The remaining 15 from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other such entities. Now, because we are listener-sponsored doesn't mean that we have to be that we are listener-managed. That's very important. We are listener-sponsored. We're not listener-managed. And this is not a put-down of listeners. It's about having faith that we are able to do the jobs that we are put to do, that we can do those jobs, and we do them well. For example, in my role, I relate to the executive director directly. The executive director is responsible for my performance. I'm rated on the basis of the things that I set out to do. And I have defined some of the things that we have to do. We have to grow this listenership. We have not grown at all. We have not. No matter what they say, I have the numbers, and we will be discussing this internally. We have not grown. So even if we are doing the greatest radio on earth, if nobody's listening or fewer people are listening than should be listening, what is the purpose of having this great radio station? We have to grow. Now, that is a fact. It's a reality. When we say we are listener-sponsored, it means that we remove ourselves from the undue influence of the commercial world. And the undue influence that the commercial world tends to exercise is in the realm of content, our editorial thrust and our content. We have been unique in the sense that because we are listener-sponsored, we can be independent and separate from that influence. So we have free rein. No one here, and I know that there have been claims, they are specious, and I will get into that, there have been claims about people's programs being censored and people being interfered with. Lies, totally. In the same way, I have never told you, even while at a newspaper, what you are going to write. In fact, I would ask you what to do.
Nor for that matter have I, and I've said this before on this radio program, I've said to people who have called me here and who have said to me, but you said Eutrice is a friend of yours, and I said yes.
Yes.
And that is a relationship that is based on mutual respect.
Yep.
And Eutrice has never told me what to discuss and not to discuss on this radio
and
program.
I won't.
And the day that that happens, she and I will agree that, you know, we'll have to agree to part company because
sure.
It's based on mutual respect.
Yep.
And I mention that, it's very important for me to mention that because I have been very upfront about certain things, and people have said to me, why do you allow yourself to be censored? And I've said, I am not censored. I don't know about other people, but nobody's ever told me what not to discuss. But I do believe that there are some things that have no place in our public discourse on the airwaves. I do believe that to be true. And therefore, I support fully any prohibition against a certain kind or level of discussion at a certain level of detail pertaining to the internal politics of the station
on
the air.
But it's not so much internal politics. Some people think, well, it's all one-sided. You would notice while things are being discussed, it's all exclusionary. But beyond that, some people think that by being crude or being crass, you're being professional. They confuse the two. It is not good journalistic practice in the end. It's not good journalistic practice to conduct any kind of program in such a way. It's an awful thing to do. But I want anybody who says, well, I was censored, show me the proof. Where is it? What was it that you were not allowed to say?
No.
And in fact, if you were censored, why would the public know first?
I'm going to censor you now because I am out of here.
Oh!
And according to the
tempus
rules...
Tempus
fugit.
Yes.
According to the rules as given to me by our chief announcer here, Mr. Michael G. Haskins, I have to be out of here by a certain time. I'd like to thank you very much, Mary England.
Maria.
Maria. What am I saying? Maria England. What am I saying? Good
thank
afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, good. For your wonderful work this afternoon here on the boards, and also Mr. Michael G. Haskins, who's doing something behind there. I have no idea what it is.
He's supervising.
Yes. He's supervising
Maria. and this is great, by the way.
Yeah.
It is wonderful because this is what we should be doing, bringing on younger people, bringing on people and passing on what we know, passing the torch, passing the skills, and preparing a new generation to be able to take this thing that we're doing to the next level. So it's a great joy to have been engineered by you, Maria, today.
And as a member of that new generation, I want to thank you very much.
You're long in the tooth.
You're
not a new generation person.
I'm going to hold you to your promise. You will come back tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So tomorrow we'll be joined at 3 o'clock in the afternoon again in this segment of our broadcast day for Talk Back by Utrecht Lee, General Manager here at WBAI. I am Hugh Hamilton. We'll do this again tomorrow in the afternoon. Please remember to join us. 99.5 FM, 3 o'clock, the good Lord willing, the creek door rise.
Santa Celtica, the South of Celtica.